Thank you for listening in to the Aquila Group of Funds podcast. I will be your host today, Phil Felice, the Director of Internal Sales. Joining me today from Bank of Hawaii are the portfolio managers of the Hawaiian Tax-Free Trust. We're going to have Reed Smith and Stephen Dodge on with us. You're here, as always, to discuss the municipal bond markets. We're coming to the end of the year, and it's a year in munis that will be discussed and dissected likely for decades, and we're going to do a little bit of that here today. So as always, Reed, Stephen, thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So let's dive right in. So much has happened this year in the fixed income market and beyond. Can you speak to how municipal markets have transformed this year? Even how do muni bond yields and price currently look, both as an asset class and even compared to other asset classes?
Well, it has been a very volatile time in the market, and munis have not been spared from participating in that volatility. But we continue to believe that municipal bonds offer clients who are subject to high levels of Hawaii state tax a tremendous value. To put some numbers on it, as of November 16th, 2022, 10-year munis were trading around 79% of treasuries. Even longer munis in the 30-year area are trading around 96% of treasuries. And that's all without even taking into account the tax benefit. If we adjust for the benefit of the 10-year Hawaii muni, assuming the highest tax rates, we would estimate a taxable equivalent yield of about 5.94%. That's even higher than the average 10-year triple B corporate. Regarding the curve itself, the short end of the curve has cheapened up since last quarter and offers a good relative value compared to treasuries, but not quite to the same extent that we see the value in the long end. This environment is fortunate for us since we're able to source liquidity from maturities in the short and intermediate area of the portfolio where the relative value is a little less appealing, and invest the proceeds in the longer end where relative value makes more sense. Furthermore, because the securities are longer, it means that these higher yields we purchased for the portfolio, we carried forward for the long term, helping to make the yield in the fund even more durable.
Great. Thank you, Stephen. So let's switch gears a bit. The headline topic for fixed income, obviously, in 2022 was, you know, it was interest rates and inflation. Give us your thoughts on the Fed's current position and possibly where you see things heading from here.
Yeah, I'll chime in on that question. Inflation reports have been at elevated levels and have become quite routine. We did see inflation reports surprise to the downside in November, but still at levels well above the Federal Reserve pricing target of 2%. During the quarter, the Federal Reserve doubled down with a trio of 75 basis point or 0.75% increases in the Fed's federal funds rate in July, September, and November. They also increased expectations for higher rates in 2023. The Federal Reserve has charted and voiced a clear resolution towards raising short-term rates by whatever is necessary to fight inflation. Powell's commentary following the November meeting focused on the idea that the market expectations for the terminal Fed funds rate may be too low, that the Fed may have to maintain these elevated Fed funds rate levels for longer than the market expects. But ironically enough, following the October inflation prints, which came in slightly below expectations, the market experienced a significant rally or decrease in yield. This is reflective of the market adjusting its expectations on the pace of future rate hikes. So despite the clearly stated risks that rates will continue to go up from here, the possibility remains that rates may begin to level off and even fall in the near term if central banks around the world can successfully put a lid on inflation. We believe that the Fed will continue to raise interest rates in the short term and may need to maintain them at elevated levels going forward. But we do believe that some cuts from the peak levels are a distinct possibility in 2023. Honestly, I know we are all pretty tired of hearing it, but it depends on inflation. If it does not start cooling and stabilizing closer to the Fed's target rate under these elevated rates, then the Fed is likely to go even higher than the market is currently pricing in.
Right. It's been such a central topic in kind of all markets, the Fed and inflation. So maybe can you address what are the other market drivers currently at play? Or maybe I should even ask, are there any other current market drivers in play?
Yeah, there's a handful of drivers. I'd say the primary factors driving the muni market, you know, tend to be pretty static. It's not an exhaustive list, but I would say the primary factors would be the yield environment, supply, liquidity, and credit. And lately, the biggest driver has been the volatility in the rates market, with the treasury yields moving around so much that just has far-reaching impacts across fixed income, and including munis. But the yield environment is the part everybody knows about. I think the part of the muni market that frequently goes unnoticed is how impactful supply can be in the market. Following the low rates of 2020 and 2021 and the immense amount of refinancing and fiscal support that municipalities conducted and received, the need to issue new debt has been relatively low, and thusly, new supply has been quite limited. Through September 30th, new issuance in Hawaii is 71% lower than it was in 2021. When securities mature and there's no new bonds for investors to reinvest in, it creates a supply and demand imbalance, and that can be quite impactful on the market. In this case, the supply is putting upward pressure on the price of bonds. Liquidity and credit can both be extremely impactful to the muni market, but they tend to be more isolated to specific events or credits compared to the far-reaching impacts of, you know, the yield environment or supply. And we aren't currently seeing any liquidity or credit factors driving our local market.
Thank you, Stephen. And that was going to be my next question, is in regard to credit strength, particularly in the municipal bond market, both at the macro level, and then of course we also like to talk about things at the local Hawaii level. So for anyone that may be concerned about the state of our economy, how would you assess conditions in terms of credits?
Well, the credit quality of the state as a whole is quite good. The balance sheets of various issuers continue to be strong, and tax receipts continue to climb. Tourism has been very strong in returning post-pandemic. Despite inflation, employment is stable, and state finances are solid. Going back to the visitor count, it's close to returning to the pre-pandemic levels, even with significantly lower numbers of Japanese tourists, which historically has been an important contributor to the local economy. A bright spot is the amount of visitors from the U.S. mainland, up 113% over 2019 pre-pandemic. And their expenditures are well above trend at 6.8% higher than 2019. This has supplemented the still anemic travel statistics from Japan. As you might have heard, Japan has reopened travel, but the strong dollar remains a developing headwind. Although we do see a nearly full recovery of international travels ex-Japan. The state and county finances have also strengthened. Employment has steadily improved to the rate of 3.5% at the end of September. The state of Hawaii is reporting a double-digit percentage in revenue growth from general excise tax and individual income tax of 31% above pre-pandemic levels. The general excise tax makes up 38% of the state's revenues. Additionally, significant progress has been made by the state with pension and OPED, which are retiree medical cost liabilities. The Hawaii government workers' pension funding has risen from 55 to 65% in a short time period. OPED has improved from 16 to 30%. Finally, general fund balance has improved by $752 million in June of 2019 to over $2.5 billion in July of 2022. We continue to have a high degree of confidence in our local issuers and believe they're well situated to navigate a recession should one come about.
Thanks. Great info, Reed. We've been hearing that across our other state-specific muni lineup that credit is a relative strength in the market here in 2022. I do want to switch gears. I have one more question for you, and it's more geared toward potential clients and advisors looking at the Hawaiian Tax-Free Trust. Can you go over in a very broad 10,000-foot view the strategy and perhaps even the outlook used to select the holdings within the portfolio?
Sure. You know, as always, we remain committed to providing our investors with a portfolio of high-quality bonds that generate an attractive stream of tax-exempt income. Coming out of the low, low rate environments of 2020 and even 2021, we carried a relatively short duration. But with the onslaught of rate hikes from the Fed and muni yields reaching levels that have not been seen for nearly 10 years, we've been lengthening our duration. And we believe this position serves us well for the pivot of the Fed from aggressive hiking to a tapering of their hiking cycle. Furthermore, we're concentrating our purchases in the longer end of the yield curve, which should help preserve the current yield environment for our investors and make the fund's income stream even more durable for the long term.
Okay, great. Reed, Stephen, once again, thank you for joining us. Mahalo. Thank you for your time. I know I always find these discussions incredibly insightful, and I hope our clients and the advisor universe feels the same way. As I mentioned, thank you both, and have a great rest of your day.
Thank you very much.
Aloha.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. The opinions shared are those of the portfolio managers and do not necessarily reflect those of the investment advisor or sub-advisor of the fund. Before investing in a fund, carefully read about and consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other information found in the fund prospectus. The prospectus is available from your financial advisor when you visit www.aquilafunds.com or call 1-800-437-1020. Mutual fund investing involves risk. Loss of principal is possible. Investments in bonds may decline in value due to rising interest rates, a real or perceived decline in the credit quality of an issuer, borrower, counterparty, or collateral, adverse tax or legislative changes, court decisions, market or economic conditions. Fund performance could be more volatile than that of the funds with greater geographic diversification. For more information on the entire Aquila group of funds, please visit www.aquilafunds.com. The fund seeks to provide a high level of income exempt from state and federal income tax, as is consistent with capital preservation. Past performance does not guarantee future results. For certain investors, some dividends may be subject to federal and state income taxes, including the alternative minimum tax referred to as AMP. Please consult your tax professional. Independent rating services such as Standard & Poor's, Moody's, and Fitch assign ratings which generally range from AAA, which is the highest, to D, the lowest, to indicate the creditworthiness of underlying bonds in the portfolio. Where the independent rating services differ in the rating assigned to an issue or do not provide a rating for an issue, the highest available rating is used in calculating allocations by rating. Free refunded or escrowed bonds are issued to retire or regain an outstanding bond issue at a specific call date. Until the call date, the proceeds of the bond issuance are typically placed in a trust and invested in U.S. Treasury bonds or state and local government securities. Modified and effective duration both measure the value of the security in response to a change in interest rates. Effective duration is also taken into account the effect of embedded options. The weighted average life, also referred to as weighted average maturity, is a reflection of the quickness with which the principal of an issue is expected to be paid. A credit spread is a difference in yield between two bonds of similar maturity but different credit quality. Taxable equivalent yield is the return that is required on a taxable investment to make it equal to the return on a tax-exempt investment. For certain investors, net investment income tax, known as NIIT, may apply. NIIT is a 3.8% tax established by the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act that applies to the lesser of the net amount income or a taxpayer's modified adjusted gross income above an applicable threshold amount. Yield refers to earnings generated and realized on an investment over a specific period. Yield is expressed as a percentage based on the investment amount, current market value, or face value of the security, and includes the interest earned or dividend received from holding a particular security. The yield ratio represents the comparison of the expected yield of one bond to the expected yield of another. A yield ratio is important when deciding whether to invest in one bond or another. Generally, the higher yield is considered better.